Hello, folks, and welcome to another chapter of Growth Digger, where we talk about everything growth, not just at the top of the funnel, but across the funnel and customer experiences and the life cycle of a customer. Very fortunate to have Shannon Lavagna today as our guest. Shannon has a lot of full stack, full funnel experience. We were earlier talking about how she started her career more in the digital marketing and creative side, but then was frustrated that all the leads that they were generating for their customers were not being acted upon properly. So they started getting into the weeds on further down the funnel. And most recently, Shannon has started putting a lot of focus on AI within the entire customer lifecycle. The company that she's a co-founder of is called Brand Builder AI and also called Standout Funnels .ai as well. So I guess they're doing a lot of work within the funnel, helping their customers succeed, leveraging AI. Welcome, Shannon.
Thank you. I'm so excited to be here. It's quite the honor to be on your podcast and to speak with your audience.
Thank you. Let's get started. I usually lead with a question about, give us an example of some work that you did that really fostered high scale growth. For either one of your customers or somebody that you're working for. So let's start there and then we'll go from.
Yeah, this is a great question. I guess the best example that I can share is we have a landscape company that's in Arizona here in the US, and they were doing about $1 million a year revenue, and they actually got to that point by door knocking, right? They were going around knocking on doors, or the owner of the company was really hustling to sell, but they couldn't break through that mark, right? Like he was really at the max of his man hours. So they came to us and first thing, they didn't have a Google business profile set up. So they weren't getting any organic traffic from the internet, right? They were doing referrals and door knocking. So we set up their Google business profile and we optimized it to get them to number one in their area. So now they're at number one for landscaper in an area of Arizona where the average house price is $1 million. So they've got very affluent area that's driven their revenue up substantially. We also added in email marketing, which they had never done email marketing. So we had to get like their list off of paper, get it into a digital CRM. We started email marketing and like, they were just blown away because even like with one email that we sent out offering what we called a rock refresh to put more rock on the landscape, that's what they do commonly in Arizona, right? It's not really grass because it's so hot. Yeah. And they made $34,000 from one email extra revenue. And then with the Google business profile on top of that, their call volume increased so much that they weren't able to handle all the calls. So they were only answering about 20% of the calls. So then we implemented voice AI. And now the voice AI can direct the call to billing. It can direct the call to booking a time for the senior estimator to come out and give an estimate. And it's just helped their company grow so much, but it's also given a lot of relief to the owner where he doesn't have to work so hard. So it's like mind-boggling to him that they're making way more money, but he's working a lot less.
That's the dream every business owner has.
I know, it's, yeah. It's a big win.
Yeah, that's quite an amazing story. And I think that's, you know, the impact of AI for small businesses is going to be tremendous. For larger businesses, implementing AI is going to be far more complex than it is going to be for smaller businesses. So I think it certainly gives them a edge and levels the playing field a little bit as well for them, because any company that is more than 100 million in revenue will have to really struggle for a couple of years to embed AI in their processes. Companies that are like 50 to 100 million, they'll probably still have to struggle a fair amount. And I think companies that are less than 10 million in revenue, that's where I think there's a large sweet spot where AI can really impact the ability to scale really quick. You just gave an example of an AI a sales agent that really is taking inbound calls, is answering them to satisfaction, and then also taking care of business as usual, basically. Setting up that bot, how easy is it? What does it take?
It's actually really easy. Like, we have it, it's part of our agency CRM. And then instructing the bot, it's really important to, one, educate it. So you have to educate
training the bot. Training the bot is like the most important thing. So how do you, let's use the same example with the landscape company. What was all the data? What was all the inputs that you had to give to train the bot?
Yeah, so we train a bot just like we would train a new human being that's working in that business. So you're going to go over the common things that every business should educate their employees over: the company history, the mission, the vision, the purpose, the policies, what the products are that are being sold, who their ideal customer avatar is, what departments you want that bot to know about, to direct people to. So we give pretty much a very large stack of written data to the bot so that we're educating them on everything about the company. Then we're giving scenarios of actual call-ins and what the bot would do in those scenarios. So if somebody called because they needed to change a credit card for their next billing, where would that go? What would the bot say? Who would it be directed to? We don't currently allow a bot to take digital data or whatever. So we, in that case, like, we program it so that the bot will set an appointment or a task for the billing department to call the person back and get the credit card information. Or in some cases, some businesses have a Stripe update link that the bot just gives a Stripe update link, and then it goes to that person's account. If there's a calendar that they would be booked on, then we give the bot that information and all the scenarios of what would qualify for a booking on this calendar. And then even then, we usually have a human confirm that appointment to make sure that an estimator isn't going out to someone that couldn't afford the service, or it's a service that the company doesn't actually do. And once we do that, then we go into a testing scenario where we'll have calls come in from our cell phones and stuff like that. And we just test the bot out and see what it does. And then you correct it, you correct the documentation, and then you can unleash it with a supervisor that will check every day, like, what that bot is doing. So you also want to make sure that it's recording. And then usually what we like to do with companies is we like to just get a little customer sample of people that would be willing to test out something new in exchange for a free, like in the landscaping scenario, get 1 month free to test out our new answering AI. And the clients, the customers, usually think it's really cool. So they create all kinds of crazy scenarios. Lets us test it at another level.
Yeah, well, that makes sense. And so typically in a small business, just talking about landscaping business here, a lot of times what I've seen is the information that you need to train the bot is in the head of the business owner. Or maybe like a couple of people, for example, yes. Like, what's the pricing? What are all the services they do? Like, they usually never have that documented anywhere. So that's how are you going to enable that?
So we actually work with them to get that documentation. And we have a form that they fill out. So we just built a survey form, an intake form. And we have someone in our onboarding team go through that form with them. And at the end of it, we use documents, because if they're going to scale, they have to have those documents anyways. It's really important. And even in talk, like, we don't work with them on hiring. We have an outsource consultant that will work with them on hiring. But we find a lot of times that they have this huge pain point around hiring people. And the reason for that is because they don't train the people, right? So they bring a person in, they plop them in a seat, and they expect them to know everything about the company and just do a job. And when we go through it with them, we say, hey, we have to train this bot just like you would train a human being. And just what you said, they have all that information in their head, and they've never been training these people. So that's why they're having those failure scenarios. So we give them that documentation afterwards, and usually they're really happy about it because now they're starting to develop their SOPs, they're starting to develop their brand documentation, and they're going to need all of that to scale. And they're also going to need all of that if they ever want to exit. So if they're ever going to want to exit, they have to have that stuff strategically in place for someone that would come to evaluate their company.
I totally agree. I know that's like usually the case is that they miss on, nobody thinks about creating standard operating procedures like in a small business. So I'm glad that you guys are kind of helping them do that as well.
Sometimes we use AI for it too. If they have a, if their website has, a lot of times they'll have a website that's been done for a couple of years that has a lot of information. We'll just run that into ChatGPT, ask ChatGPT to give us that documentation in the format we need it. And then because we don't necessarily always like the linguistics of ChatGPT, then we'll flip over to Claude and have Claude just tighten up the language on it, Claude.ai.
Yep.
And that can create that documentation that we need for the bot training too. If the owner's too busy or they don't want to sit down or they don't want to do that, even SOPs, like we have SOPs that were written by ChatGPT on how to train our bot. Now, it's so amazing now, like we'll record what we're doing and Loom transcribes it. We put that transcription into ChatGPT. ChatGPT gives us all the SOPs and then it goes off to our team. It's crazy how efficient this stuff is.
Wonderful. So talking about efficiency, what do you think is the one in broad strokes you said that it's made the company more efficient? So for a small business, let's say a 2,200 people business, what do you think is the amount of efficiency that one can expect from AI?
There's a gazillion use cases for AI. I think one of the things, and with 2,200 people, are you talking about staff of 2,200?
Yeah, or? I'm just thinking of 2,200 people. Like, I mean, they're a small company, they have less than 100 people in the company, and obviously, it probably has a lot of... Actually, let's scrap this question because I think it's going to be too broad strokes. We can talk about something else.
I have a great answer for it, though.
Okay, perfect. Then why don't you...
I have a great answer. So for smaller businesses that are like less than 100 staff, I think the best thing they could do is get their senior people together and train them on how to creatively use AI in their departments. So for example, let's say a sales department, you have a sales manager, you have a couple salespeople, you can have the sales manager take some of the recorded calls of the salespeople, compare their close rates, and plug that into AI, have AI analyze it to come up with the script that's the winning script, right? And that, instead of a human being sitting there and listening to what's creating a higher conversion for Joe versus Sally, you can have AI go through. And sometimes there's just some word nuances that Joe's using that Sally's not using or vice versa. And you can optimize that script, give it back to the team, drill them on it, and then run it and see if it improves their sales conversions, right? So there's things like that. We use AI to analyze all kinds of stuff. In the finance department, they could literally just print out their bank statements, upload it to ChatGPT, have it analyze for duplicate charges, have it do a budget forecast. And especially if you're a small business that isn't always checking your bank account, doing that once a month, it takes 10 minutes. You find all these subscriptions you have that you're not even using. You can cancel that. You can increase your ROI instantly just that way, your revenue that way. So training the staff on how to really think creatively and letting them know what AI can do in terms of each division of the company, just giving them some ideas, you'll find they come up with the most wild, innovative, amazing ways to create efficiencies in their own departments.
No, I totally agree. And I think that's a great way to look at it. Every business that's out there, whatever departments they have, they should task the leadership with finding ways of embedding AI in what they're doing. Mm-hmm. Be it accounting, be it sales, be it customer service, be it, you know, your inbound marketing, be it your social media. There's so many things that AI can either take on completely or help with, and it can accelerate. So that's great. Any closing remarks, Shannon, that you would like to leave the audience with?
I think AI, we're right at the forefront of AI, and it's very exciting, but a lot of business owners are very apprehensive. It's, for my generation, it's like Skynet, right, from Terminator. It's far out. It's a little weird. We didn't grow up with cell phones. So it's this new innovative frontier. But I think the most important thing that business owners have to understand is that you have to embrace it, right? It's not an
option. Or at least experiment with it. I think if you experiment with it and it works for you, great.
Yes.
If it doesn't, you're mitigating a big risk of being made obsolete in a few years. Experiment with it. If it has a positive impact on your business, then implement it. If it doesn't, then at least you rule that out. And it's not like Polaroid after a few years thinking, why did I not think about the digital cameras and being more serious about it?
Mm-hmm.
You would not be a Nokia that disappeared from the cell phone market because it did not embrace apps, and you would not be like a Blockbuster that people used to go rent movies from, and then Netflix came, and in a few years, they were completely left in the dust. So I think it is extremely important that companies do experiment with AI,
mm-hmm.
and then if it's a winning recipe, then go full scale with AI.
Exactly. And the key word you said there is obsolete. And that's the most dangerous thing for businesses, because when you're a business owner, you have to think that we're all out there vying for attention, right? Attention is the new currency when it comes to business. And the businesses that can put out the most content, that can communicate the fastest, that can respond the fastest, are going to get the most business. So you want to operate with that. And a really cool way to start, if you're a smaller business owner and you're looking to scale, is just go to ChatGPT, have ChatGPT read your website, and just ask it, what are three quick ways I could implement AI that will help my business grow? And it will give you three simple strategies. That's a great way to start and start playing around with it and implementing.
Great. Thank you, Shannon, for your insights. I think it was wonderful. I'm sure our listeners would have learned a thing or two. And thank you for being a wonderful guest.
Thank you for being an awesome host and for having me on your podcast. I really appreciate it.
Thanks.